Thank you, sir. It's great to be back with you. Pastor Belinda and I had a great time in Versailles, Indiana, at CI Central, our Christian International Central office. And we're involved in the School of the Apostles there, as well as their Friday night services called the School of the Holy Spirit. So we ministered Friday night and Saturday three times, and then stayed over for Sunday, which was great. But the one thing we came back saying was, we love to be here. So although we get invitations around the world, actually, this is our favorite place, and we love being your pastors. And it's so nice to be sent by you when we go. We never feel like you're begrudging us a trip or whatever. We always feel really, really blessed by your sending. And we enjoy a special apostolic anointing when you send us. And it's just marvelous. But it's great to be back with you. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for time together now in your word. And we pray, Lord, that the thoughts from the throne will come down through us, and that lips of clay will speak oracles of God, and that we will hear the voice of your heart and your soul, your mind, your will, your passion for us. We pray, God, that you will release now the word you have for your people, and let it be a blessing to them. Let it strengthen, encourage, and challenge us. In Jesus' name I pray, and for his glory alone. Amen. Amen. So if you turn with me in your Bibles to the third chapter of this book, to the second, that's the second book to the Corinthians. Let me get that out right. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I'll begin reading at verse 16. There are many things happening to you and me as we continue to come into the presence of the Lord. I felt a strong presence of the Lord this morning as we come in worship. And there's some things happening to you and me in the presence of the Lord in this very special time in the plan of the Lord for the people of the earth. How many know that something has shifted in the heavens? We've come into a new time. In a new day, God is doing something very special in this season, and it's happening to you and I as we gather in his presence. And this verse, and a couple of verses here, 16 through 18, speak of that. And it says in 2 Corinthians 3 and 16, nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, I felt a lot of people turning to the Lord today. And as Sister Karen said, you need to get our mind off our troubles and our mind on the Lord. And so church worship time is a time of seeking the Lord, and your private study time, your private worship time as well. When you come and present yourself before the Lord and you generate through praise a presence of the Lord, this is what this passage of Scripture is talking about. When one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. You begin to see as God sees. You begin to hear as God hears. You begin to have a passion for the things of God. That happens to you in the presence of the Lord. The veil is taken away. Did you know some people are walking around in a fog? They're walking around in a darkness. They're walking around going through the actions of life, but there's no life in them. They've missed the point somehow, that it's fellowship with God that causes the veil to fall away. And he says here in verse 17, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So something's happening to you in this presence of the Lord here is you're being set free from things that have distracted you, from things that you've stumbled over, of things that have kept you from the perfect plan of God. Those things are falling away, and God is moving you into the liberty of the light of God. That's why church is not optional. Amen. Thank you. I said, that's why church is not optional. Some people can do with it or without it. And bringing the children, well, it's a lot of trouble. So, you know, so thank God for people in this day and age who are getting it, that assembling ourselves together and the much more should, as the day approaches, is not an option. It's, we need to be here. Why do we need to be here? Because this is where the veil falls away, and in the presence of the Lord is where there's liberty. And there, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. I can't emphasize enough that church is not optional. There's something happening as we gather today. There's something happening. You're more glorious than you were last time I saw you. Hallelujah. I started by saying there's many things happening to you and me as we continue in the presence of the Lord in this special season of grace. And one important thing is, there's a lot happening, but one important thing is, God is establishing a powerful anointing on the men of the church as fathers. Our sermon today is about reversing the curse of fatherlessness in the land by God establishing powerful fathers for us. It's about reversing the curse that soon comes upon the culture around us when fathers lose the battle for righteousness in their own lives and in the lives of those we influence around us. Those around us may be children in our own household, or they may be those entrusted to us by a spiritual or emotional connection. I have a lot of sons that are not my natural born sons. I have daughters who are not my natural born daughters. People call me father, a spiritual father. It's a wonderful thing, but an awesome and fearful responsibility. And I found, too, that those who were employed by me when I was an employer, those who looked to me for guidance, they were actually those who I was accountable for influencing in a godly way. The battle for our lives and the lives of those around us is not over until Jesus comes or we return to him. And even then, there's this great war at the end, right? And there's a new heaven and a new earth, and then righteousness is established. So this battle that we have going on between the kingdom of God and the powers of darkness isn't going to be over anytime soon. But the Bible teaches that Jesus has never lost a battle. And he won't lose this one either. If you think that the nations are going to hell in a handbasket and nothing can be done and it'll just keep getting worse and worse and worse and the devil will have more and more and more people, and then finally, when there's only one or two left on the earth, then Jesus will come. That's not the story of the Bible. The story of the Bible is there's a great increase and a harvest at the end of the age. The story of the Bible is this is an ever-increasing and always expanding kingdom. The story of the Bible is salvation is always available day by day, and those who want to enter in will. And the church is on fire and growing if you look and find that place. Jesus has never lost a battle. And there will be sheep of his pasture and a people of his calling and a great and mighty nation of nations called by his name at the end of the age. He will not lose this battle, and we will not either unless we quit, unless we give up, unless we abdicate the role of rulers with him in this generation. And I, for one, will not give up. I will not give out. I will not abdicate. I will not give the lives of those under my hand to ungodly people who desire to take them on their way to hell. I'm not standing for it. I'm one of those fathers in the last days that's getting a new breath of life. I don't know if you see it or not, but there's something in me that has changed in the last months. I am on fire for the passion of God, and I am pushing and pushing and pushing righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost wherever I am. Hallelujah. There should be no doubt that I propose losing this battle will not happen on my watch. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. I'm on fire for him. I propose we take our place as fathers in the land and stand up for what God says is true and right, and turn up the pressure on our leaders around us to establish the rule of the kingdom of God so we can live in peace and prosperity as covenant people should. We shouldn't be run over by the devil. There should be no doubt in our minds that we live in a land where there is a lack of godly influence through godly fathers. The failure is both upon the part of the fathers in the land that we live in, as well as in the children who are running wild without the blessing of godly fathers. If you don't have the blessing of godly fathers, you're liable to end up anywhere doing anything. Fathers have given up on being fathers, and the children's rebellion has been amplified by the abandonment of fathers. We live in a culture that has many, many fatherless people. And in these days, how difficult is it for the fatherless to find someone with a father's heart to patiently engage them, to endure with them in their ignorance and willfulness? Those of you who are fathers, you know what I mean, right? It takes an endurance. It takes a patience. When people fall, you have to receive them again and again and again. And again, just like God receives you, again and again and again. We have to endure with them. They need someone to help them even when they are not willing to receive as we would like. God has great patience, long suffering. Lately, I've been reading this book of Malachi. Interesting book. It's a book of Father God to fathers. It goes like this, Malachi chapter 1. And I only have 8 minutes to read the whole book, so I may have to skip a little bit. It goes like this: the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. So first it starts out to a nation. He says, I have loved you, says the Lord. Yet you say, in what way have you loved us? If you're going to have the heart of the Father, you're going to have to say to people, I love you, I love you, I love you. And sometimes they'll say, well, in what way did you love me? But God just goes on saying, I love you. Was not Esau Jacob's brother, says the Lord, yet Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. Remember, Esau disregarded his inheritance and sold it for a bowl of porridge. That doesn't go over big with God. Just saying. And he says, I laid waste to his mountains and his heritage for the jackals of the wilderness, even though Edom has said, we have been impoverished. In other words, when the Lord withdraws his hand of blessing and the curse comes on and things start getting bad, people will frequently say, well, we've been impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus says the Lord of hosts, they may build, but I will throw down. They shall be called the territory of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord will have indignation forever. Your eyes shall see it, and you shall say, the Lord is magnified beyond the border of Israel. Verse 6, a son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I'm the master, where's my reverence, says the Lord of hosts? To you priests, now he's shifting his word from the nation to the priests. When the nation is in trouble, it's the leaders, it's the priests of Levi, it's the leaders of Judah, it's the leaders who are called to accountability. I'm calling to accountability today, the fathers of our faith, the fathers in our church. I'm calling to myself an accountability. The place we look at, if there's destruction and cultural dismay and out of places out of order of the wisdom and rule of God, you have only to look to yourself as a responsibility. It happened on our watch. And I'm telling you, it's a time for me to be on my face before God, repenting daily for the situation and the condition of our families and our cities and our region and our nation, and cry out to God, what can you do to strengthen me as a father, to become a preacher of righteousness, to become one who declares we will have the right judgments and the honesty, the truth, and the integrity that is required in families, in businesses, in cities, and throughout the nation. We need to become a people who demand righteousness be ruling and reigning. Then the people will rejoice again. He says this, and if I am a master, where is my reverence, says the Lord of hosts. To you priests who despise my name, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? And now I'll skip and kind of go fast through here. Well, he goes on to say, the way you've despised my name is you offer your worst and not your best at the altar of the Lord. Verse 13, you say, this is what they say to the altar of the Lord. Oh, what weariness. In other words, church is boring. I just endure it. I don't take a real interest in it. When everybody else is worshiping and jumping up and down, I just kind of stand there till it's over. I look at my watch. I play with my phone. I say, Pastor, you're really getting at it today. Amen. You sneer at it, says the Lord of hosts, and you bring the stolen, the lame, the sick. Thus you bring an offering. You don't bring your best game to the church. Oh, you run your business with an iron hand. Or you manage your own clothes at home. You manage your own house at home. But you won't do anything for the church. You won't bring your best game to the building of the house of the Lord. It's what he's saying here. I'm not saying that about you. Trust me. This is a great church. We have a lot of people working very, very hard. How many enjoyed the flowers when you came in today? Isn't that sweet? Nobody had to tell the person what to do. They just bought the flowers and got it done. How many enjoy the lawn? George, the lawn is looking good. Amen. I mean, people here work in the house of the Lord. How many enjoyed the worship? Did you realize that just doesn't like happen, right? That takes a lot of work. It takes talent, but it takes a lot of work as well. But I think our society as a whole has lost its grip on the importance of the altar of the Lord and to bring their best to the Lord. He says in chapter 2, verse 2, if you will not hear and if you will not take it to heart to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts. In other words, I think he's beating up on them a little bit here for not engaging in worship. Not engaging in thankfulness. We're talking about that a lot today in worship, weren't we? To give glory to your name, says the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have cursed them already, because you do not take it to heart, and you have wearied the Lord with your words. Chapter 2, verse 17. You have wearied the Lord with your words, yet you say, in what way have we wearied him? In that you say, everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them. Does that describe our society today? Good is evil, and evil is good. Or, where is the God of justice? You call into question the integrity and the justice and the fairness of God. Chapter 3:13, your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? Verse 14, you have said, it is useless to serve God. The fire has gone out in some of us. The fire has gone out in some of us because we just don't believe serving God is worth it anymore. I challenge you today. Listen to what Malachi is saying to the men, to the leaders, to the priests and the Levites of this particular generation. I'm thinking God is speaking to the churches today, and he's speaking to me in particular, and he's saying, you can have more passion for me than you have. You can be more attentive to the things I want you to attend to than you are. And he says, what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord? And then he goes back at the end of the chapter in verses 4 through 6. He says in chapter 4, verse 4, remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Why would we want to remember the covenant? What was the first covenant? With Adam and Eve. What did he say? Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue, and have dominion. It's going to go well with you. He says the same thing to Noah. Then he finds Abraham. And he says, I'm still wanting to make a family for myself. And he gave the blessing to Abraham, right? And the Mosaic covenant was all about Deuteronomy 28, where if you hear the voice of the Lord and follow his commandments, you're going to have all these blessings, right? And then the end of that covenant, if you don't, all these curses come upon you. So God has designed a system for you and I that keeps us from going the wrong way, because things get really horrible over there when we do. And there's a great encouragement to be people of the covenant. So he says here, remember the covenant. Remember the covenant. There's a covenant blessing. There's a national blessing for Israel. There's a national blessing for the people of God in this New Testament generation that brings out the goodness of God into our life if we will but adhere to the voice and the commandments of the Lord. In verse 5, he says this, I will send Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. So he skips all the way forward to this time and this season. How many know we're living in a time before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord? We live in this time. And he says in this verse 6, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. He starts out the book of Malachi saying, I am that father, where's my honor? He starts out the book of Malachi by saying, I've got a bone to pick with the fathers of this generation. You're not bringing your best game. You're speaking ill of me. You're not living righteously. You need to get your game back on target. And you need to come into the blessing of God. Because the Spirit of God asked me this the other morning. I got up and the Lord says, how good do I have to be to you to bring you to repentance? How good do I have to be? How good do I have to be better than other gods for you to serve me with your whole heart? How good do I really have to be to get you to change your mind and get off the distractions that you're in and into the plans and purposes that I've laid out before you? To get serious about the prophetic words that have been given to you over the times and seasons. To get straight with me about what I've called you to do and get on that path and get busy with me, because that is the way of life for you. Remember my life verse, John 8:12. Jesus said to them again, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. He'll have the phos of the Zoe. He will have the illumination of the God kind of life. God is calling fathers today to a new level of glory and a new level of the covenant. And I really believe he will turn the hearts of the father to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. He says, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. There's no reason for us to live under the curse of the law. How many know we've been delivered from it? Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hanged on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. I believe the curse comes because there's a removal of the blessing which we need to be in peace from our enemies and prosper in our living. How many like to be delivered from your enemies and prosper in your living? Belinda and I are finding that there is a place like that. Hallelujah. There is a blessing in the new covenant that we have through Jesus that's more powerful than any curse. Say that with me. There is a blessing in the new covenant that we have through Christ Jesus that is more powerful than any curse. The curse that's cursed this land, I am telling you, we have the power to bless our way out of this. We do. We have the power to bless our way out of this. If everyone who calls on the name of the Lord and says that they honor Christ as Savior would get a hold of this blessing and say that we have received the authority to impose the will of God in our lives. I told people this morning in the Sunday school class, the most interesting place for you to go take possession and for you to rule and reign with the intents of God is that little place between your ears. Right? If we can take that place, then we have a hope of taking our family for God. And we have a hope of taking our city and our nation then for God. This blessing that I'm speaking of will reverse the curse of fatherlessness as we receive it in our lives and bless our sons and daughters around us in the power and glory of it. I really believe that Acts 3:25 is where I'll stop for today. It says this, you are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. There's a covenant that God has with you today. And particularly, I'm calling the men of the church. Men, why don't you stand up with me? Amen. Stand up with me today. I didn't get to be here Father's Day, so I want to bless you today. God's looking for a few good men. And he's looking to release a blessing upon you today that will revolutionize your life. It will cause you to see opportunity you have to actually impose the kingdom of God on your own life first, on the life of those God has given you as natural spiritual children and employees. And then I really believe God is going to mobilize some of us to take positions of authority in the education and government and business realms that are promotions. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I announce the promotion of the fathers of this house at a new level of understanding the covenant you made with Abraham that's come on the Gentiles through Christ, that we have the power to bless and we have the power to release ones around us from the curse of fatherlessness and to bring them into the kingdom in a mighty way. And so, Father, I just release the blessing of this house to our fathers today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Would you stand up with me, please? Just hold your hands out like this. And I just want you to receive the anointing today that's in this word. Lord, you said you'd send us Elijah the prophet. There is a prophetic anointing on the word of the Lord today for each and every one here. We all know young men, young boys, young girls. We all know people around us who they may be older, but as far as maturity in the things of God, they may not be where they should be. I pray, Lord, that this anointing will charge your people in the last days, that you will turn the hearts of the fathers toward the children and the children toward the fathers, and that the curse that's on our land of fatherlessness, right now, that curse will be broken in the name of Jesus, that many will come out of darkness and find spiritual fathers. I pray, Lord, that the spiritual fathers of this house will have an attractiveness around them. We will begin to draw ones to us, O God, and the house of the Lord will be filled with people who not only were seeking spiritual fathers, but they came to the right place and they found ones who will have the patience and the endurance to work with them, to wait with them, and to extend the mercy of the Lord in Jesus' name. I want to read you one more scripture from Malachi. I just can't help myself. I really love this portion. It's in Malachi 2, 5, and 6. It says, my covenant was with him, one of life and peace, and I gave them to him that he might fear me. So he feared me and was reverent before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and injustice was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity and turned away from iniquity. And I just hear the Spirit of the Lord say, I'm counting on you in this day and in this time to pick up the sword of the Spirit, as Gideon did in his day, and begin to topple the idols of your fathers and begin to establish the kingdom of God at a new level, in a new demand upon my anointing, to see the kingdom of God come to earth again, as in the days of your forefathers, says God. I really believe that's what the Spirit of the Lord is saying today. So, Father, I bless your people with the word of the Lord. And I pray, God, they'd go in peace and joy and in the passion and zeal of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. God bless you. Amen.